Joining us in this segment is an old friend, Chuck Negron, former lead singer of Three Dog Night. He is on the phone with us from Southern California. Chuck, good evening and welcome to Recovery Coast to Coast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much.
A lot of shows.
Chuck Negron joining us tonight on Recovery Coast to Coast, former lead singer Three Dog Night back in 1968. He hooked up with Danny Hutton and Corey Wells. The group went on to be one of the hottest bands of the late 60s, early 70s. And then to Chuck Negron, and he hit bottom, and I do mean bottom. This is a guy that probably should have been dead. It's a miracle that he's alive and in recovery. He's been in recovery since 1991. Chuck, talk about the end of the using and what got you into recovery.
You know, my loved ones and my girlfriend at the time, she just kept putting me in rehabs, and finally, in lieu of going to jail, I went to Cry Help, and it really ended up being the perfect place for me because they really were very hardcore, serious, 12-step oriented, and, you know, I wasn't treated like a celebrity. I really, really had to work hard to stay there, and my life changed. You know, the gift of hearing, you know, I heard all of a sudden, and it all made sense, and I was very sick. The reason I'm clean and sober today was that I got so sick I couldn't leave. Because if I would have left, my mind wanted to leave every day for a couple of months, but my body just couldn't cash that check. What the obsession was trying to get me out of there. But so the gift was that I was so physically sick. I weighed 126 pounds, and I had 15 teeth. You know, I thought I was very cool.
you were living on the streets for a while, right?
Yeah. And it was a choice. Robin would have taken me in at any time, except for the end. She did throw me out. But yeah, I lived in this abandoned building with this other addict. That, you know, we would cop and get high. So, you know, it was a real gift for me, Cry Help, and gave me a real foundation. I stayed there the better part of a year, and I'm really glad I did because I was so physically ill. I found out I had hepatitis A, B, and C, that I had emphysema, that my right lung was scarred and totally black from pneumonia, and then I got pneumonia again while I was in Cry Help, and I was very, very ill, and the prognosis was not very good for a long life. So I've been very, very blessed to to be around and enjoy all these years clean and sober.
Chuck Negron joining us tonight on Recovery Coast to Coast. You went through treatment, what, 35, 36 times?
Yeah, 37.
37 times.
37 different treatment centers. Yeah, 37 different treatment centers. Some of them I went to several times.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more than 37 tries. It was 37 different treatment centers. I was a hardcore case. I was an addict. I never stayed long enough, even if I complete, I think I completed a couple, but it was, you know, like 30, 60 days. And for an addict who's been an addict, you know, for 20-something years, it's really not long enough. You really need to be in recovery, in a place for a long, long time. Now, there are people that get sober in meetings and, you know, God bless them. I wasn't one of those. I got too physically ill.
Chuck Negron joining us tonight on Recovery Coast to Coast. You know, I think it's important to again say that you went through treatment, you know, 37 plus times, because people say, how long do you go with an addict? How many times do you give them? How far do you go? You go as far as you can and one step more. And it doesn't make any difference how many times you go through treatment. It's important that you find that path eventually. And Chuck found his back on September 17th, 1991. What is recovery like for you today, Chuck?
And, you know, this is probably been the first couple of years that, because of my work and my children, I haven't been as close. Like I would go to a meeting every day. I have a home group 6 o'clock. I'd be there, you know, every day, and sometimes go to a 3 o'clock. And this is probably the second year where I've kind of not been able to do it, you know, as much just because of the work. And I'm actually thinking of, you know, I've got to revamp and, you know, find a way to get back on this, you know, the schedule that has served me so well. You know, so life shows up and it's very easy for us to, you know, embrace family and stuff and neglect the serious disease that we have. So I'm admitting I actually need, you know, to get back to a more rigid foundation, because it brings me more peace. I mean, it's not that I think about drinking or using. I'm even very blessed, but I don't have the serenity and I don't have the patience, and I'm not as God-centered as I am when I'm doing the things that save my life.
Back in 2006, this is a family disease, and you saw the disease raise its head in your son, Chuck?
Yes.
What happened with Chuck, and how is he today?
I saw Chuck, yes, day before yesterday, and he looked terrible. And, you know, I said, you know, you're using. And he said, no. At any rate, his mother sent me an email that night, and she said, yes, he's in trouble again. And, you know, so he's really had a battle. He has really had a battle, and he, you know, he had to serve some time. He went to prison. I mean, with all the resources and all the help I was able to get him, he went to prison. And, you know, got a habit in prison. You know, so it's been very, very, a very, very difficult journey, you know, for us. And, you know, I'm very blessed that he's alive, and, you know, we're doing the best we can. I appreciate you asking.
One day at a time. That's yeah. All that we all have.
But I know for mine, I don't give up on him, because I mean, you know, the problem with addiction to normal people is the addict and alcoholic does such horrific things when they're using. So they look at this whole thing as a moral issue, and it's not. I mean, these are normal people, great people when they're not drinking or using, and that's why we got to get them sober. So they can, you know, be of service to the family, and you know, and society. But it's a very difficult thing because so many people just condemn addicts. But you know, it's not an easy road, and you know, my son has been in probably 10 to 15 rehabs, and you know, I'm just hoping he gets it.
Mm. 1991 is when you found your way through Cry Help. Are you still involved with them at all?
Yeah, I have what they call a PC card. It's a privilege card where you can go and take people out. And it's part of the process where after you get 2 years, you can come and take people out. Of course, I've been taking people out for years.
Sure.
But, yeah, and you take them out, and you take them, you know, to dinner, and you take them to a meeting, and, you know, sometimes you sneak in a movie, and, you know, and so, yeah, I'm involved, and I go to alumni. They have alumni meeting, and, so many people have gone through that place. So, you get to see miracles there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, so it's a great thing. So yes, I am involved. I just did their picnic. I mean, they have a barbecue, a barbecue every year, and it's their major fundraiser for the year, because Cry Help is still 50% of their beds are free. 50%.
That's amazing.
Yes, yeah, still. So they do a lot of fundraising, and so I just played them, my band, you know, we did a free concert for them and did a full show, and it was great, you know. So yeah, I'm still involved with them.
When you're out on the road, is it difficult being on the road in terms of, you know, the triggers, the temptations, the stuff that's out there?
No. I've been very blessed. I actually, the guys in Blood, Sweat, and Tears drink, you know, normal guys. And when the show's over, they drink. I mean, you know, not that I've seen any of them drunk, but never even thought about it. Never even thought about it until one day I saw a guy drink on stage. And it was just hot. And I said, you know, that's inappropriate. You can't drink on stage. And that was the first time I even thought about it. Never even was anything that had to do with me triggered. So I've been blessed. God intervened and took away the obsession. And when the obsession was removed, I was able to work on learning how to live and stay sober. But the gift was the obsession was removed. And it is a miracle. I mean, it's a gift. Because it has not returned, and it's not very attractive to me to see people loaded, especially after you see your son loaded. It's like you never want to see anyone loaded again.
Chuck Negron, nice enough to join us for a few minutes tonight on Recovery Coast to Coast. Chuck, I wish you continued success in your career, and it's certainly one day at a time in your recovery, and I will certainly keep your son in our thoughts and prayers.
Oh, you're so kind, and you people out there say a prayer for my son. He needs your help.
We will do that.